Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Episode 52 of the Premier Non-League Podcast starts now. Trevor, we've got a problem tonight, haven't we?
We have
because do I smell virtually or something? Well,
we're looking a bit like Southend United. We're a bit depleted.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they've just been all pulling out throughout the day. There's like some injury list coming on. So we've got manager sacking Sunday yesterday. Now we've got PNLP.
Disappearing Monday. What?
PNLP, yeah. Monging off Monday or something like that. Can't do that. But Trevor, it's good to be back. I know you missed me last week. You couldn't help but talk about me in a podcast when I was editing it, could you?
Well, it happens, doesn't it? If you miss a week, you get talked about. That's how it goes.
Yeah, you get. So, I mean, we're saying that Pete and Chris may be coming on to the podcast later. They're just sort of held up in personal life at the moment. We might see them drop in at the moment. And Gaz's little child's not very well, so we'll let him off for that. I mean, he does call me the part-timer, and Trev had to correct me because he gives me abuse every time. It's like pot kettle black normally with Gaz, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't really snag him off if his kid's unwell tonight. But anyway, we'll get on to our usual bits and bobs in a bit. But I don't know if you remember, Trev will remember, a few months. But Trev, was it before the end of the last season? I think we had this gentleman on.
Yeah,
it was right towards the end of the season. And we had a little sort of chinwaggery. As you remember, Trev's blog, footballwriting.co.uk, used to sponsor our podcast, and we used to have his font and logo on it. And, he supported us for a bit when we started out, and we haven't had anyone since. But we had a good idea because this gentleman is doing some great things in the world of especially non-league football, but hopefully football overall. Ross Butterfield from Tackle This Together. He's about to come on the line, but Trev, we sort of came up with an idea, didn't we? Thinking, well, why not sort of help promote him a little bit more? As we know, he's a fan of the podcast, and you know, we're a fan of his and his work. And we thought, why not have his name and the charity on our podcast for a bit, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Ross came to our live show we did last March as well, up at Horsham, which was where we first met and found out about what Tackle This Together was all about. And I've done a couple of pieces, I think, on my blog as well, just to put it out there, because it's such an important topic these days that people still don't talk about. It's still a bit not quite taboo, but something that people aren't comfortable with.
Yeah, and it's had a lot of traction over the summer especially, and we thought, you know, why not? We'll donate our sponsorship channels to Ross and Tackle This Together. Without further ado, Ross joins us. I guess you could be our honorary guest for tonight because no one else has bothered turning up, Ross. So if you want to hang around, you're very welcome to. I know you know a bit about non-league, so there we go. Ross, how are we doing, mate?
I'm good. I'll pretend to know a bit about non-league. I'm very good. And listen, to start off with, thank you for the support that you've given so far, and for that lovely gesture. Really, really grateful. So thank you very much.
Well, obviously, it's a charity that we know we think is very important. You know, when you came on the podcast earlier in the year, we had got good feedback. And I think you're bringing attention to a subject that isn't well talked about, especially in the game of non-league football, as we said before, which is sort of people don't feel confident about talking about these issues. And we thought, you know what, you're a local guy to us, or as we know, you're up in the Horsham area, aren't you? And I think you are anyway. I know you're a Chief fan and everything like that. So, and we thought, why not? You know, Trev, I, Gareth, Pete, okay, Chris is up north. I mean, we know you want to launch Tackle This Together north sometimes. So I'm sure he can help you with that. But just remind the guys who might be listening for the first time to a podcast what the charity is about mainly.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, so I've been involved in grassroots for over 30 years as a player and a coach, and involved in the running of clubs as well. And during that period of time, And I guess more so recently, I realised that there wasn't enough being done with regards to awareness around mental health and well-being in the grassroots game, and about mental health issues, which, as you mentioned, is a really important topic. And at times there wasn't really enough support, and sometimes no support. I had some situations of my own that I went through that raised that even more so for myself, and then some players around me in the club that I was involved in as well. So I decided, well, you know, something needs to be done about this. So I launched Tackle This Together. It took about 2 to 3 years to get to where we've got to. And we have now officially launched as a not-for-profit. And the idea around Tackle This Together is sort of four key pillars, which is to raise the awareness, support, education and conversation around mental health and well-being within grassroots football. And the way we're doing that is really importantly by having someone within the grassroots club, someone physically there who can support people around this matter. And we do that by running training courses, mental health first aid training courses in partnership with Mental Health First Aid England. And also we've just launched a mental health awareness course, which is aimed at coaches and managers. And it's only a 4-hour course done virtually, so that they can become mental health aware when they're managing or coaching players. And hopefully as well, that gives them a new life skill that they might not have already, that they can use in work, around the home, you know, out and about with their mates. So that's kind of the mission. Is to work with all 17,000 grassroots clubs in the country, which equates to over 13 million people playing every week through those clubs, to provide that physical support. And where we've kind of evolved as well since we last spoke is the after support that Tackle This Together will give clubs as well, so that we're not just running a training program that someone goes on and then is left on their own in the club to take that out to the players. We'll actually support them via a program moving forward so that they get our constant assistance and support to complete those sort of four key pillar mission.
Yeah, fantastic.
How's the response been, Ross? Has a lot of clubs come to you? Have you gone to as many
yeah.
at the moment?
It's been phenomenal. It could be a full-time job,
really?
Quite frankly. And I'd probably say the key areas where it's been really, really positive is that everyone we talk to agrees that this is an absolute no-brainer, you know, especially with the fact that there isn't anything the same as this being done. There are other support mechanisms in grassroots football around raising awareness for mental health and well-being, and some great other campaigns and initiatives associated to football. But some of those are sort of providing resource and a website and information, documents, leaflets, signposting, which is super important and really, really helpful. But what we're obviously trying to do is have that physical presence there. And that will make really a great impact. So everyone we've spoken to has been like, yes, this is perfect for the game. And the clubs I've spoken to, we've had clubs committed on the upcoming courses. When we talk to people like yourselves, they're so supportive of it. I've even had conversations with the FA. I've had some conversations with pro clubs about getting their support as well. And yeah, quite frankly, no one seems to sort of knock it back. The one thing I would say, though, is it's all great. Everyone's talking about how good it is. But now the action needs to happen. And we need to get more clubs committed to coming on board, having someone at their club trained by us, and then receiving our after support. And that's really where that momentum needs to happen now, because that's great. But we want to have that impact, and we want to do that as quick as possible.
Fantastic. I see you've also sponsored Broadbridge Heath this season. That's a new. So how did that sponsorship come around?
Yeah, I mean, again, that kind of links to the last point you raised. You know, when we talk to people, they love the initiative, and I approached Macron, and you know, Andrea in Macron head office in Italy was just so supportive of what we're trying to achieve. He then also spoke to Dave over at Macron Hastings, and they came together and kindly offered to support us so that we could be the sponsors of Broadbridge Heath, who have Macron kit. And they basically supplied the funding so that we could be the main shirt sponsor for the away kit and for the player tracksuit. So that's really important for us because it's giving us that awareness on the pitch in front of other teams, in front of other supporters. And then the players obviously wearing their tracksuits and to games, away from games and at training. And, you know, so on behalf of Macron, a huge thank you for that. And they have continued to be a great support. And we're actually working with them moving forward as people come on our training course and they qualify. Even if it's a mental health awareness course, they're then supplied by Macron with a shirt that sort of signposts them in their club as to who they are and what their qualification is to hopefully again raise a bit more awareness. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, has anyone sort of, have you had any inquiries from the sponsor of Broadbridge Heath and like you've seen on the sponsorship and stuff like that? Have you? I mean, obviously it's a proud moment for yourself to see that on your, you know, team you support on the touchline with their away shirt, and you know, obviously you, I'm sure you wear the gear when you're down at the games. But have you had any sort of back from this sponsorship agreement?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, all these kind of scenarios, I get a lot of people talking to me about it when I'm there and asking me. Obviously from it, we had PR. And from the PR, yes, you know, we've had other clubs come forward. The same with regards to this very podcast. And the last time I appeared on it, it was within 24 hours of being on the podcast. So I had five or six inquiries via the website from clubs asking, you know, how do we get involved? So, you know, that just proves the power of this situation. So, and that's the same with the PR that we got from Bobby Sheath.
Well, that's just increased my Trevsy go. So thank you for that. That's the feedback. That's the feedback we like. You know, obviously we've done this podcast for a good couple of years now. We just obviously hit our 50th episode. 3 years, there we go. Hit our 50th episode. And you know, we do get good feedback on social media, but it's nice to see that it's being listened to and it's helping other people out. So hopefully this little sponsorship with you now for the next season is gonna be fantastic and get some more out. I mean, as I said to you as a joke on email, if you want to put a good word in with Macron and get us some Premier Non-League podcast branded, tackle this together, I think that would work really well, don't you, Trev?
I think that's the next step.
Well, I mean, if you think the amount of games I get out to, Ross, and you know, the places I go from step one all the way to six and that.
Oh, look, he's trying to get a freebie now. Look, he's already got a Punjab United top. Yeah, I know he wants it anyways.
What size are you, Trev? I'll send it tomorrow.
Superb, look at that, sea service.
As we said off air, I could wear it around the world, mate. Forget Trev and his local Sussex football. You know the job I do. I could get it around the world. Forget him. I'm the big shot here, you know.
There we go. No, double order on its way.
Yeah. You're going to say double XL there. I was going to say, watch out. Cheeky. There we go. No, fantastic. Trev, you were going to lead on from that comment, mate.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Ross, so obviously we saw last week you were up at Crystal Palace. I assume for a meeting with them about, obviously, tackle this together. Have you managed to get round a few more pro clubs? Did you have to go to them? Did they come to you?
No, so that was approach direct to them that I've taken. So the sort of scenario we're looking at there is that we do work with grassroots and non-league. That's the point of Tackle This Together. I mentioned on the podcast when I came on last time that the pro clubs are looking after their academies and they've got some great things in place for those players who don't make it. But, you know, that's a very small percentage of players in the men and women's game. So my idea is that Tackle This Together starts from the bottom up and has that 13.5 million people who play grassroots football getting the support. Now, I also felt, though, that the pro clubs could potentially support the initiative and their foundations work closely with grassroots clubs in their area. So why not partner with that pro club in certain areas and they can hopefully come forward and help work with the grassroots clubs in their area. So Palace was actually the first meeting. It was really kind of them. They came forward straight away as soon as I approached them, really supportive of having a meeting. Met the foundation, Palace for Life, had a really positive conversation and they've gone away to have a think as to the different ways we could potentially work together. And that has now given me that initiative to now repeat that with other clubs, the likes of Brighton near to home, etc. and reach out to them, and hopefully some of them will be able to come on board. And you know, what we're not looking to do is to go into the pro club and support them. We're asking for them to support the grassroots team within their postcode or areas that they would look after. So it was a really, really interesting meeting, really positive to be able to come away from it thinking, again, this initiative obviously is doing great things because if they're interested, they want to talk, they want to have that conversation. So the next step is to follow up with a few other clubs that we've reached out to, pro clubs who are considering having a chat, and see where they go from.
That was my next question. What was the next steps? But obviously short term, you have to answer that in one go.
Well, Trevor, the next step needs to be to get in touch with Charlton Athletic, because if you're going to go into Palace, we need to get a decent South London football team. Like maybe in the past anyway.
Very nice. Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic to hear that, you know, like, I think, you know, we said it, didn't we, Trevor? Like, even when we spoke off air after we recorded the last podcast with you, that, you know, this has got ground and it's gonna go places. And it's nice to see that, you know, it's predominantly for, as you said, grassroots and, you know, non-league football. But, you know, there's a space in the game for everyone and every club and every level you're at, because, you know, sometimes you think, you know, the higher you get, you know, the more lonely it could be at the top. You know, it's like any job you go into, or, you know, you've got these footballers and, you know, might progress from grassroots all the way up. You know, successful. We've seen them at Worthing and stuff like that progress higher up, and the struggles with it.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen, funnily enough, we're sharing it tomorrow on our social media. We're going to do a piece on it. The Big Ange from Tottenham. I don't know if you saw, it's been going around the internet, a clip from a press conference that he had at the weekend, talking about exactly this and exactly to your point, you know, that these are humans at the end of the day, and there are mental health issues and situations that they're all going through. Yes, they are pro footballers, and, you know, definitely take some time to watch this clip because he summarizes it really, really well. And you're right, this is the thing, you know, it's, you know, men's, women's game that we're working in. Everyone has all their different things going on in life. And I actually believe that one of the really important things of doing this is that within football, a sort of grassroots level player, you play for as a volunteer for fun at most levels. But everyone at most levels of grassroots who's involved is a volunteer, and they have families and they have jobs and they have other responsibilities. So this isn't just player focused, because it's actually a lot of the time the people who are running those football clubs that could potentially need this support as well, because they have a hell of a lot going on in their lives. And yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter which level of non-league football, grassroots football it is, whether it's up to Worthing's level or Dorking's level, this still qualifies for that. And you're right, then into the pro game as well. And take it away from football, you know, again, Roman Kemp was on TV last week talking about the need for, and he's actually driving a campaign towards the government about the need for every school to have mental health support and a mental health officer within every single school in the country. And I'm not 100% sure I can remember the statistic. I think it's around 36% that the government said that they're going to drive towards as a target by the end of 2025. And his point is, why not 100%? You know, every school should have a mental health officer by that point. Why hold back to 36%? And that's exactly the same philosophy that I have in grassroots football. We have it on our website. Our impact goals are by 2025 to work with 10,000 grassroots football clubs. And then by 2028, we want to see someone physically within every single grassroots club trained within mental health awareness or mental health first aid. And, you know, that will then have an impact on many people's lives every week through football.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great to see. I mean, I was interviewing a footballer in the last couple of weeks that had signed a pro contract. Yeah, it hadn't gone right for him. He'd been banded out on loan and then treated really badly by his parent club through different owners and stuff. And you could just tell, he obviously didn't really want to open up, but you could just tell by looking at his eyes and, you know, his body language, how a thing that he thought, I mean, he's a fantastic player and he's going to be fantastic. And he just needs a bit of step back to go forward again. But it really sort of got to me and my co-podcast creators about how it affected him when we touched on it. And he started looking at the floor and, you know, something wasn't right there, and the sort of way his body language was saying. And it's amazing to think, you know, the dream, they've been sold the dream. they've gone up, and and then they're obviously treated really badly and made to be the fool guy. And from what I understand from various conversations, this guy was bad mouthed all over the club, called all sorts and stuff because, but he wasn't getting the support he needed. And if you'd had the support channels in place that you're trying to put in, there might have been a completely different story there.
100%. And that's a really good point with regards to the fact that I mentioned earlier, the pro clubs are doing great stuff for the players that are within the pro clubs. They have mental health first aiders, they have mental health support, and they're supporting the academy players. And actually, I was in a session last week with Stephen Corker, who set up a fantastic initiative for academy players as they fall out of the academies. Stephen Reid is also involved from Nottingham Forest. I was fortunate enough to be in that session. And I was talking to them and saying, well, what we actually hopefully can do through Tackle This Together is kind of actually sort of have that bridge between pro and non-league on this matter. Because if the support's in there in the pro game, that's all very well, but they've already, they're at the pro game. They've got there. They've gone through all that academy system. They've gone through all the pressures of grassroots football at a higher level. They've then gone into a pro team. Then they get that support. So why not have that support within non-league, within grassroots? So that there are ways that we can then prepare these players when they're at a grassroots level and a non-league level, when they do get into the pro game, because of as a grassroots and non-league player, you're still gonna suffer rejection or work with a manager who's not selecting you and you don't have the best relationship with. So, and these are the things that happen in the pro game when they get there. So hopefully we can implement something as well with the likes of those guys, maybe, where we sort of are that bridge in the middle as well.
Yeah, well, we look forward. Well, obviously, now being the official sponsor of the Premier Non-League podcast, we'll get you on throughout the season and get some updates from you and how it's all going, because it's great to see and it's great to be able to support a charity like yourself. So thanks for giving us the opportunity to put your name to our podcast. I mean, look forward
Thank
to
you.
Seeing it. And just our final thing, how Broadbridge Heath doing? You happy?
Yeah, it's been a mixed start.
New league.
Season. New league promotion last year, having won the league, the step from county, into Isthmian is obviously greater than you would just expect from one step up. I was talking to Trev earlier and, saying that I think a lot changes, from travel distances, the amount of coaches you can have on the bench, the amount of subs you're using, all these things that you get used to taking advantage of, the five subs, for example. We've not had great success in the beginning of the season in the cups. But
there was a certain cup game at Lancing, brilliant. Wasn't there? That was a pretty impressive game for one certain team in red, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
I mean, how you didn't win that
falls,
game?
That falls under pre-season, doesn't it, Trent?
Oh, here we go. I don't think Arsenal are counting their charity shield as a pre-season game, so I won't count our win as a pre-season game.
Listen, what can we say? What a goal. Anyway,
unbelievable.
You're right. How hadn't we won it by that point, I guess you could
God
say.
No,
but
no. I think it was the energy and the fitness. I think it's what it. I think they're running out of steam. Yeah.
So Spurs, an amazing result away at the weekend, winning 4-0 is exactly what we needed. And when you put that in the mix with a few draws that we've had, it's not looking so bad. And no. It's new. We've got some coaches who've joined the coaching team. Everyone at the club, we're having to get used to that level of for everything you've got to do. We've got obviously get the upgrades as well for the ground. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot happening in a short period of time. But great squad, Simo and Storrow, as always, doing great things on the touchline and who they're bringing in. And fingers crossed, maybe it's not a bad thing to be out of a few cups because we can focus on, staying in the league. Really looking forward to where we go with that. So
fantastic. And Ross, just before you go, just tell us all your social and contact details if anyone wants to get in touch.
Yeah, so it is tacklethistogether.co.uk for the website. The same for all of the social handles, whether that's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Twitter is TackleThis2, T-O, as it has to be shortened there. We're always putting content out with regards to football, about mental health, well-being. You know, it's not just about mental health and well-being. We are a football channel as well. We're, you know, sharing football stories and highlights and conversations. And, you know, yeah, also we've got our next mental health awareness courses will be going live on the website later this week for the October and November courses for any coaches who will be interested.
Fantastic. Ross, thank you again. Thanks for letting us put our name to your fantastic
channel. No, I really appreciate that.
And we look forward to speaking to you in the season. We'll speak to you soon, mate.
Thank you very much. I'm off to email Macron to organise some co-kits then, yeah?
Yeah, fantastic. That's the task for next time. Otherwise, you're not allowed on, yeah? See you later.
All right, guys. Have a good podcast. See you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. There you go, Trevor. We've got at least six listeners then, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got at least six listeners.
That's really nice to hear, though, that people got in touch with them off the back of listening to the podcast, whether it's people who are regular listeners or people who had heard about it. It's in the socials that we put out as well. It's nice. Good to see.
Yeah, it's one of those that, like, you know, I take that from two sides. You know, it's amazing that people are actually listening to the podcast and the interview, which is, we know people are, but, you know, when you get that feedback, it's fantastic, you know, because we do get our regulars on social media that are fantastic. And we thank you all for your kind words all the time. But, you know, these people might not necessarily be on social media that are listening to the podcast. And, you know, they've obviously, we've helped that. And I just hope us linking up with Ross and Tackle This together will be a fantastic partnership for both of us, because, you know, we're carrying a Steam name and a charity that's doing fantastic things in the world of grassroots and non-league football, and is helping, you know, him promote the charity a bit.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be a nice little partnership between us, and I think it's nice as well. They're quite local to us well, based where four of us are in Sussex anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think we just need to get him, Chris, to sort out the northern branch, don't we?
Yeah.
I think once we get him sorted out of the northern branch, we'll get him up there and he can do Tackle This together, and if he can be their representative. Right, Trevor, I think it's time to crack on to the usual business. Where have you been these past couple of weeks then? What have you been watching? Obviously, Barnet were top. They're now third from what I see, aren't they? After, was that a loss on the weekend?
Yeah, a loss on the weekend to Rochdale. I haven't had a chance to watch the highlights. Yeah,
from what you've read, disappointing?
A little bit, yeah. We were a bit naive, I think, defending-wise. We got ourselves back into the game very well. But I watched Dean Brennan's post-match on Saturday evening. And as he said, there's no time to dwell on it. We play Tuesday night again at home to Aldershot. So you haven't got time to worry about it. Park it, deal with it, and then get on to the next one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely... you can't really start making predictions right now, can you? It's kind of, you've got to wait another month or so when the sort of there starts to be a little bit. But are you pleased with what you've seen so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 19, what have we got? 19 points so far from 9 games. I think this time last year we had 13 or 15, something like that. So we're in front of ourselves from last year, which is a good sign. But like
always
you say,
a good sign.
You know, nothing's won yet. These are the foundations you put in place to get yourselves into a good position for the rest of the season as well. There's a few sides well underneath us, you know, not performing at the moment, and you think that they're not going to stay down there that long. But it's a long season. We're 9 games into 46 games.
Well, we can say it's sort of about the conference south and such. We'll move on to Worthing and stuff in a minute. But, you know, look, teams like Yeovil and Torquay that got off to an awful start this season, they're now pushing their ways up. And it's like, you know, is it settling into the league? And, you know, as you say, some teams that aren't maybe in and around at the moment, it'll be there by Christmas or it will change by Christmas for all leagues.
Oh, absolutely can. I mean, Hartlepool and Rochdale have started better than a lot of relegated sides have done in the National League. But Hartlepool came a cropper on Saturday. Chance to turn it around again Tuesday. As you said, in the National League South as well, there's a few sides that surprised me that haven't started well and still haven't hit anything like, you know, approaching mediocre, you know, medium to good form. So it's just such a long season. And I think so long as you've started all right, you've kept yourselves in contention and you're there or thereabouts, which is where you want to be over the next 2 or 3 months, then you put yourself in a good place come November to push on for the second half of the season.
I mean, I just can't believe we're already coming to the end of September. Like, when we record our next podcast, I think it will be October. So,
yeah, about first October.
I've been out tonight in a committee meeting at Worthing, and I just had to put a jacket on. It was really like that thunder and lightning is really taking the heat out of the air. And it's kind of like, oh, don't know why I put my shorts on. I'm trying to hold on to as much summer as I can.
It's been bizarre though, haven't it? We've had two Saturdays of really warm temperatures to watch football in. And I mean, tomorrow night, as we record on a Monday, I'll still be heading to Barnet in shorts. But you know that come 10 o'clock, by the time the added time's finished and the whistle's blown and everything, it's going to be a little bit chilly. But, you know, at the start of the evening, there's a chance the temperatures are going to be still in their early 20s, you know, as you arrive at 6:30, 6:45 to 7.
100%. Yes, 100%. It's, we had that Indian summer, if we're allowed to call it. I think Pete was saying, are we allowed to call it that anymore? I've always called it an Indian summer, but I don't know if someone will take offence to that somewhere. But it's an Indian summer to me. There's no offensive terms. I don't know why. I don't really know where that terminology came from, Indian summer.
No,
it's always hot in India.
isn't it? I suppose it's always been associated with random weeks of hot weather when it's not supposed to be. So I guess there's probably some proverb or something like
something
that.
Somewhere. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's some wise owl know somewhere. Let us know if you hear and tweet about it. Tell us where it comes from, or link us an article of the history of it. You went to see Stenning versus Maidstone in the FA Cup at the weekend, and you did put on your Twitter, could we be expecting a shock here? There wasn't a shock. I mean, they got a goal. How does Stenning play?
Really well, really well. I spoke to their manager, Kevin Green, during the week on my own podcast. I thought, cracking time actually to get him on. I've watched Stenning already once this year away at Arundel. One division gap between them, played really well, beat Arundel, I think 5-1 or 5-0 that night. But it was a really good afternoon. Maidstone needed to be professional when no disrespect again, but the difference in step 5 and step 2, the stadiums Maidstone are used to going to, and you know, coming to somewhere like that, you've got to be the most professional team in the land. And you know, credit to them, they did it. Although they had a bit of a scare just before half time though. Stenning pulled one back, and 3 minutes later, fingertips of Lucas Kovalan stopped it being 2-2. Otherwise, going in
could have been a different result. Could have been,
but you know, they weren't, they certainly didn't disgrace themselves. The full-time fitness I think showed towards the end as well, because Maidstone could ping that ball around a little bit easier. But you know, there were two or three players I thought played really well for Stenning on the day, and they've won 5 out of 5 league games so far. They've obviously got the FA Vars to come as well, so I think they'll be in for a cracking season. I mean, the
could
other
be a
great
good season.
1,135 there. Just need 2 or 3% of those to come back and watch the league games on top of their average, which I think is about 125, and you know, that will make all the difference.
Well, it could be a similar thing to what happened to Littlehampton, and sadly, you've seen a lot tail off there now. But you obviously, when you get big sort of cup ties, you do get the casuals going, and you know, from the town. But you know, as you say, it's from walking distance from the town centre in Stenning. You can easily get there. You know, if you are listening to this and you've sort of got the love for non-league after watching your local team Stenning play Maidstone, so then why not go along to some more Stenning games, support the club? It's just, you'll love football. You'll love that sort of level of football. And as you know, I went to see Arundel, which are in the same county league as Stenning. Am I right in saying?
No, one below.
one below. And I mean, as you know, I've been to Arundel with you before, and you know, I really enjoyed it. It's so nice to actually go something completely different from what I'm used to in the National League South with Worthing. And you know, the Arundel game, they beat Forest Row 4-0 with 10 men. Some very questionable refereeing decisions, which later transpired. I don't know if it had anything to do with that. And I'm not going being said for libel here. This is just rumour before anyone wants to get all funny with me. But apparently, the referee asked for his dad to get in for free on the list, and the club obviously said no. And it was only £6. And apparently, he threw his toys out the pram. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, maybe that's why there was a red card shown to a decision that shouldn't have been a red card. But the bench, I've never seen a bench. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like there was two tackles, two high foots. Forest Ray should have had someone sent off about 10 minutes earlier. He got cautioned, yellow card. The bench were absolutely up in arms. Like one of the coaches went and booted the physio bag because they were so angry. It was a definite red card. Very, very similar challenge. The other side of the pitch about 10 minutes later. Red card straight away. And you're like, how? And, you know, the lino wasn't doing anything. And, you know, as you know, on this podcast, we're always one of these people to defend referees. But, you know, where it's due, you've got to be consistent, because two very similar tackles and one the red and one. I mean, luckily, it didn't affect them because they won 4-0. And they played amazingly. That he was like Forest Row had the 10 men. But you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. And you've got to have some consistency. We've seen it a few times this season. I know the refs are under a lot of pressure. But, you know, does that little ticket thing have play in the back of his mind when he's making a decision?
Who knows? That's one of the things. I mean, the where was I this week? I was at VCD and Glebe in the Southern Counties East Premier Division on the Tuesday night last week. And I remember rightly, because it was a good week ago, I think the referee and both linesmen were fairly good. There wasn't too much. There was quite a bit of what's the word? I don't want to say banter because it wasn't really, but a lot of decisions being questioned. And I think he stood up to him fairly well. The guys at the weekend, I would assume, and I don't know for sure, that they were somewhere around National League South referees. I'd have thought they would have needed to have had to be able to referee them. But there was only, I think, I picked up on a couple of things that I didn't think right. Funny enough, the first goal I thought was a foul. It was actually at my end of the pitch and it looked like one. Watching the replay back, it definitely wasn't. No. So the referee actually got that one right. Booked a Maidstone player for kicking the ball away, as is per the law. The only thing I think he didn't pick up on was there was one where a Maidstone player stood in front of the ball, blocking the free kick, which is a yellow card. Now, if I was a standing player, I'd have thought a bit quicker and kicked it at him. Referees then got to make a decision, and
yeah,
a bit of shirt pulling, which I find is commonplace in the National League these days, and that's the next thing they really need to cut out as well, is the, you know, trying to wear the other geezer's shirt before the game's finished. But
yeah,
generally, I think the last few weeks I've seen, I haven't come across a bad one. Whether I end up with one tomorrow night at Barnet or wherever I go next weekend. You know,
well, thank God Pete's not here, because he'll be going on about his bloody Averley referee again, won't he? He went on about that on the Rebel Yell podcast, but we did probe him for it. But, you know, it's a hard job. I don't envy any of those referees. But, you know, I mean, I look at it, and if it's true about this whole getting his dad in, I mean, fair enough, but it's £6. It's supporting a grassroots football club. Come on, £6 is nothing. I know we're in a cost of living crisis and it might not be, but surely if you follow your son around, he's refereeing, I'm sure he can afford, even his son could pay for his dad to come in. I mean, come on, like £6 is nothing. You're not like asking £20.
No, but, you know, different as well. He's not one of the players' dads.
No, exactly. It's a referee's part of dad.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But hey, that's it is what it is. It's all rumour. Before anyone wants to get funny with me or anyone on this podcast, it is all rumour. But it's quite funny when you hear these stories go around non-league clubs.
Only in non-league, mate.
Well, to be fair, would a Premier League referee be able to get his dad in? Like, you know, if he went up to like the secretary at Charlton, or, you know, that's not Premier League, I shouldn't say that, or Spurs, let's say, if he went up to a club secretary and said, my dad, can he come in free? Maybe they would let him, but like, you know,
to be fair, I don't know how it works, because obviously the players at clubs get so many comps, don't they?
Yeah.
So whether match officials are allowed comps or not, whether that's considered a bias or something like that, because, you know, I mean, say for example, you know, the guy's refereeing at Spurs and, you know, he's allowed to bring five of his family along. Is he going to go, well, do you know what, I'm going to give him a little bit Tottenham's way, a bit more Tottenham's way, because they looked after me? I don't know. I'd imagine
Maybe they're not allowed because it's like biasness. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'd say probably if they do want to go and watch, they've got to pay. But,
I mean, for £6, mate, £6. I mean, it really wind me up. And if it is true, it's pathetic. So if you're listening to this referee, get your pocket out and pay next time you go. Anyway, right, moving on. FA Cup, Worthing progressed. From what I wasn't there, as you know, obviously I was at Eastbourne, Arundel. They played Eastbourne. And to be fair, shout out to Arundel because they did come over to us. You guys from the Premier Non-League podcast, me, Chris Biggs, who isn't, he's one of my friends, and Paul Gray, and you know them, Trevor from Worthing. But we had a good old chat and they said, oh, thanks for coming along. Really appreciate it. So it's nice when you get recognised. And I wasn't after a freebie shirt like Trev, but you know.
I didn't ask for one.
Just, no, I know you didn't. Yeah, you're giving it. Yeah, I know you're giving it. I'm just joshing with you.
Famous, James. That's how
just
goes,
joshing with you. Famous in non-league, mate.
Famous friends.
There we go. Friend. From what I understand, I didn't miss much at Eastbourne. I don't think the manager was best pleased, Adam Hinchwood. He kind of stormed off the pitch after. It was a 1-0 win. And there's a clip of our goalkeeper, Rocco Reese, going a bit viral all over the internet at the moment. We were joking, if Soccer AM was still around, I think he would have been on that this week because he made kind of he tipped it against the post, which then bounced off into the literal open goal for one of Eastbourne's players. Somehow Rocco jumped like a starfish, saved it, and then saved it again. I mean, the player, Eastbourne player, would be kicking himself. And selfishly, I'm kicking myself because I wanted to go and see them tomorrow night because I can. But I'd rather be in the next round of the hat when we've got Whitehawk and a Sussex derby, which are two leagues below us, aren't they? The Eastmen South East, I think they are.
They're one below.
Oh, are they in the Eastman Prem now? Yeah, oh, they're in the Prem now. Okay, good. Yeah. Fair. Oh, yeah, they got promoted, didn't they? So there you go. Call myself a non-league podcast. I can't even remember what leagues they're in. Two leagues, Arundel and that. But that should be a very interesting game, I'd say. That'll be an interesting one. Don't want to sit here waving it all around, but you know, massive opportunity to Worthing to get to the fourth qualifying round, and then after that it's round one, isn't it, Trevor? Am I right?
Fourth qualifying rounds when the National League clubs come in.
Oh yeah, then the National League club comes in. Well, it's the fourth when the National League comes in.
Yeah.
And then after that, is it round one? Yeah. So we beat Whitehawk if we do. Get a National League club, possibly. Imagine a nice little tie against Barnet. That'd be quite fun, wouldn't it?
You
want
to play us at the moment, mate. We'll wipe the floor with you.
Oh, mate, with Danny Cashman in attack and Ricky Aguirre and everything, we'll smash him.
We have the National League's top goal scorer at the moment, so.
It'd be an interesting game, to be fair. But, I mean, you'd like to take one of those teams that are sort of struggling in the National League. I mean, is that when it goes national as well? So, is it still regional teams?
No, I think it's still regional until at least the second round. But I'm sure last time when we got through, last year, we had Accrington away in the first round proper. So, I think it's just...
Qualifying round. Yeah. I mean, it'd be lovely to get South Shields. That'd be a way to... to meet up with Chris, wouldn't it? Worthing versus South Shields.
Should they get Leake Town away?
Leake Town away.
Yeah, there weren't. I must admit, there weren't too many ties that actually stuck out a little bit. Averley beat Kings Lynn this evening in their replay, as we speak. The winners are at home to Hornchurch. That could be
on a Monday. That's only 2 days later. That's interesting.
Yeah, Averley always play Monday night, same as Chelmsford. They're at home to Hornchurch. That could be a good Essex derby.
Yeah,
Bath. Who are still league leaders, aren't they, in the National League?
Yeah, they're just above Worthing. I think they're 1 point above us.
They're away to Weymouth, which is reasonably interesting. And then Sheppey United, the top end of Kent there, are travelling to either Merthyr Town or Taunton Town, whoever wins their replay on Tuesday. That's a heck of a journey for
that is indeed.
Whoever they draw. And just one other I wanted to pick out as well, Cray Valley Paper Mills, managed by one of my friends, Steve McKim, replay Tuesday night against Northwood. If they get through, they're away to Carl Shorten, who sacked him in the summer after 1 year in charge of a 2-year project, they were told at the beginning of the season. So I imagine Steve will have them bang on it tomorrow night to have that opportunity to take on Carl Shorten again at the end of the month.
Interesting. I do love the FA Cup. I mean, it does excite me because, you know, I'd love to. I mean, I just keep on looking at Marine versus Spurs during COVID. I know it's third round, but like, Christ, just the amount of money that's done for the club. You know, as you know, Trevor, being around Worthing, have got so many plans and projects for that ground. You know, a run to even the first round of the FA Cup would just sort so much out, and you know how much it does to a non-league club. it'd be fantastic to see. And, you know, just be nice to see the BBC. I mean, Pete's not here to defend himself, but I said to him, I wonder if the BBC decide to broadcast the match, they got to first round, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be allowed to commentate.
No, he wouldn't.
He said, I will be commentating. I said, oh, I don't know. BBC might say otherwise than the club. He goes, I will be commentating.
I think you'll find the BBC might need the space a little bit more than poor old Pete's little rebel yell, unfortunately.
As the same, I've been winding you up all the time. He goes, I will be commentating. I was like, I don't think you will, because the club will be fine.
You'll have to find a corner of the stand somewhere, I think.
Yeah, it'll sit behind the goal. We're getting behind the goal for once. Tempt to enjoy the match. Yeah. Getting behind the goal. Exactly. Enjoy the match for one.
Have a week off, Pete. Yeah. Have a week off and actually enjoy your football.
Have a week off, mate. Like he's doing tonight.
Indeed.
Yeah, there we go. Well, he said he was going to come on possibly, but it's nearly 8:55 as we record. He's not coming on, I don't think. Neither is Chris, but we'll keep each other company. Worthing currently sitting second in the league. I haven't been because of work reasons, but from what I understand is the sort of games as of late, we just haven't really been firing. We haven't had any bad results really, like the 1-1 against Hemel Hempstead. We just, what I understand is that we were just messing around with it at the edge of the box, you know, or like when we get in the box, instead of shooting, they're trying to pass it out and then they pass it too much and it gets messed up. We were in their area so much. They scored the first goal and we did Joel Colbrand with a little worldy strike from the outside the area sort of equalised, but we could have won that game. And you know, another frustration. And but we're going to get these. And like, as you keep saying to the fans, I'd rather be second in the league. We only lost twice. The Braintree one, I think, was just before you recorded the last podcast, wasn't it? I think when we had lost 4-0, after?
That was just after, because you played Welling on the Tuesday night, which I went to.
So and then it was a Braintree game.
Then you played Hemel.
Hemel. So was that after the podcast went out? The Braintree.
Braintree recorded. We recorded two nights after, didn't we?
We've already spoken about. I'm sure Pete's already spoken about the Braintree one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wasn't fun. And you know, but we're going to get these, and the players are all bedding in. A lot of them are signed late. We've signed Danny Cashman, you know, which I'm not sure. I don't think he was signed by the next podcast, but he's been signed in the last couple of weeks, and he's a player that trialed with us. It was when you were recording. Yeah. I think was it? Yeah. He's trialed with us pre-season 2021 when we won the league. And he signed for Coventry, was loaned out to various non-league and League Two clubs, didn't work out, got released from his contract. Adam Hinch were kept in touch. Boom, we got a brilliant player in that. He's a little bit unmatch fit, he said. He's fit, but he's not match ready. So he has been playing. But when we played Littlehampton the other night, apparently he was a plus player on the pitch. So, you know, I think we've got massive things to come from him. He's only 22. Big, big player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, watching the game against Welling, like you say, you're going to have a lot of sides this year that are going to not proverbially park the bus, but they're going to have a game plan. They're going to stick to it. They're not going to deviate from it. And credit to Welling and Danny Bloor that night. They actually absolutely sat on it for the entire first half, right up until you scored. As soon as Worthing scored, that was when the game plan went out the window. But, you know, that's one of the joys of being a side that is quite successful, in everybody's got to find a way to beat you. And if that involves putting nine players behind the ball, and that game plan is the game plan, it's, you know, that then is a test of Hinch's mettle as to whether he can break everybody down.
Yeah, and also it was interesting where Danny Bloor comes out and says in the post-match interview he thinks we're going to win the league. That's an interesting comment from Danny Bloor. And Danny Bloor's been around the National South and this level of football for a long time. So no matter what people love him or hate him, he is definitely a non-league character. But, you know, he does speak sense sometimes. He knows what he's talking about. So we'll take that. We'll take that and run with it. But yeah, Worthing doing very well at the moment. South Shields doing very well as well. Chris ain't here to talk about them. But from looking at their results lately, I think they've been playing very well. Read in the National League paper that they, they didn't play their best game in the FA Cup on Saturday versus, I think it was Step 8 or something, or their team they were playing.
Bishop Auckland, weren't they?
So they scored quite late on, I think, to sort of secure those points, secure the next round. But maybe they just took obviously it's a cup final for Bishop Auckland against a big team locally. And fair play to them. And they only won 2-0, I think it was, Shields. So it'd have been interesting to have Chris on to see what he thought about that, because from the review and what I've seen online, they weren't the best. But a win's a win. sometimes you got scrappy. You got to get a scrappy win. And they're riding quite well in the National League North. They've seemed to have taken to it very well, I'd say, in a similar form to what Worthing did last season. Fully expected, and Chris said he fully expects them to do quite well this season. Whether they can continue that, they will go through a bad patch. All teams do. But we'll wait and see, because, as you know, it's a kind of like our Northern club, isn't it?
In it, just now, cracking start for Shield so far. Cup's all about getting through, isn't it? Few quid in the bag, get a nice draw in the next round, try and get yourself through to that first round, get one of the Football League big boys at home, and get a TV game, bit more money, and everyone's laughing, don't they?
Yeah, we'd love a TV game. Right, I think we move on from our clubs. And what was what you called yesterday, Trevor?
Sacking Sunday.
Sacking Sunday, right. Without further ado, let's see how many managers got sacked yesterday. Have you written it down? Because I'm going through our Twitter.
I've got four.
So we had
David Unsworth at Oldham.
Yeah.
Tim Flowers at Gloucester.
Yeah.
Andy Welsh at Bury.
Yeah.
And who's the guy at Alvechurch?
Alvechurch.
In the group. I can't think of his limit name now.
Alvechurch was Stephen. It was Ian Long.
That was it, yeah. That's the four I had yesterday. I don't think there were any more, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, so that's four managers on a Sunday. What's going on? Why so September? Is it too early? Is it too soon? Is it the right time?
Do you know what? I've written a programme column for one of the clubs this week to go into the programme on Saturday, exactly on this point, because I got asked the question on Twitter, me and a couple of others. Is it too early? I always thought the benchmark was around 10 games. You've got 30 points on offer. If you've not got quite what you expected in that point, then you've still got enough of the season to turn things around. And I think if it hasn't worked in 10 games, then I think you've probably got better reason than clubs that were just, you know, getting rid of managers after four or five games. But neither Flowers or Unsworth made 10 league games. Flowers made 10 games in total if you count the FA Cup yesterday, which is what cost him his job. But I think Unsworth has been on a hiding to nothing since day one of the season when they got hammered 4-0 at Southend.
Yeah. It's I personally, I can see it from both sides. I think personally it's a little bit too early. But then Charlton sat their manager. I know it's not non-league, but Charlton sat their manager like just the beginning of September, you know, after losing, I think, 5 on the trot, which wasn't good. I don't know. It's a hard thing because you sat them now, you try and rebuild and you push. Or you wait till Christmas, you wait till a couple of months, it's almost too late. Can you turn it around in that period of time to do something out of the season? Obviously, the clubs are quite ambitious, all of them.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Unsworth, I thought when Oldham appointed him, I thought, sorry, you got the wrong one there. To manage in the National League, you've got to have either the experience yourself of managing at that level or one below, or you've got to have a coaching staff that know non-league inside out. If you don't, you're on a hiding to nothing. It doesn't matter how much money you've got, how many players you signed, as they did again this summer. And, you know, I thought at the same time, go and prove me wrong. Took a while at the end of last season, and I thought they had a good run of form. And I thought, okay, I think he's now got the gist of it and understands it. And the players they signed in the summer, again, suggested that he's given him a decent budget and they should be rightly talked about in the top three or four. And then to start the season the way they had, and hearing rumours from other people the last couple of weeks that it hasn't been pretty up there, and then for him to refuse to speak to Mash, the Bromley supporter, after the game on Saturday, you know, just says it all, really. You want to say he's out of his depth, but I don't think he was even that. He wasn't swimming in the same pool, I don't think. So I wasn't surprised to see him go. Maybe surprised actually taking another couple of games longer.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers, I think, was a
You were never a fan of Plowers, were you? And even when he was at Barnet, you thought it was a wrong management appointment.
Well, he was. Well, thing is, he had the he should have come in before Peter Beadle didn't. Tony went for the cheap option. Flowers comes in 2 months later. By then, the damage is already done because we've shopped at Aldi and Lidl instead of Waitrose. And his style of play, though, everyone knows what you're going to get with Tim. And even 2 or 3 years down the line, exactly the same style people were saying he was employing in this, you know, in that level of football. A mistake to bring him in, maybe, you know, you hoped again, maybe he's learned, changed some of his philosophy so it works. Didn't. Not surprisingly, he's paid for it with his job. Gloucester can't afford to be where they are. They're very, very well supported for a National League North side as well. So yeah, they deserve a little bit better. Andy Welsh, someone put on Twitter yesterday, that budget, could be expected to be winning the league. No, if football was that easy, we'd all be football managers, wouldn't we? And we'd all be winning leagues. I think some clubs are impatient. And I think some of that's come from those 2 or 3 years where we had a curtailed season and then we had no season finish for a lot of the clubs as well.
Wasn't that just a dream? I thought it was a dream or a nightmare.
Do you know what? It feels like it was actually longer than a couple of years ago. But I think some clubs have got that little bit of impatience from there that they're 2 years behind where they wanted to be, which I can appreciate. But as someone else put as well, you've only got one league winner and one playoff winner in non-league all the way
still needs to change. And I was disappointed it hasn't by now, as we thought we'd really change, but it's gone very quiet again, hasn't it?
A little bit, yeah. So I feel a little bit for Andy Welsh, but again, you know, they're ambitious, Barry. They're back at Gig Lane, playing in front of massive crowds for the level that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bit of victim of success, maybe. And then Ian Lloyd at Alf Church, absolute legend. I think 20 years he's been there, something like that, I want to say.
Time for a change, freshen it up, new ideas.
Paul have done the same. Paul Town did the same 2 weeks ago. Tommy Killick was there for about 20 years as well.
Kind of what Hornchurch did as well.
Hornchurch, Mark Stimson. Yeah. You know, it happens. And again, I think some of it is a little bit of impatience, I think, to get where they want to be. And I can understand wanting to make up for the lost ground, but there's no guarantee that whoever comes in any of those clubs is going to do any better than the person there. And as you say, is 10 games enough? Is it 15? You know, 20, I think, is too far because half the season's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult to say. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It'll be interesting to see who replaces them. Is there any front runners that we've seen?
Oldham, I've seen quite a few names banded around.
Big name.
I've seen the Cowley brothers, Darryl
Carr,
who's at Bristol Rovers, led them up, back up after they came down.
I can see the Cowleys.
Yeah, Mickey Mellon's another one, but I think he's been out of the game long enough, and I know he's managed in the National League before, but you know, game moves on every year.
Yeah.
So it's attractive. Whoever wants that job, it's attractive. You know, you're playing in front of crowds of 5,000 plus every week there at home. They travel well away.
Mm-hmm.
Big job. Gloucester, I guarantee as well that Patrick knows who he wants, whether he can get into another match. I've seen a few names bandied around for them. Just a couple I'd heard of, Lee Mansell, who was there a couple of years ago. Somebody's mentioned Bobby Wilkinson's name as well because he managed for Patrick at Hungerford.
Yeah.
So, I guess it's who's available. Berry, no doubt there's going to be, you know, massive applications there. Alf Church are a solid Southern League side as well. And, you know, Eastleigh still haven't appointed a manager yet.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting. And hopefully we'll find out by the next episode we record in a couple of weeks' time. Trevor, we also noted today, Norwich United. I mean, we don't really know much about them, but from what I've read, death threats, secret cameras, punches against the manager. Are we watching WWE here? AEW? Or are we watching non-league football? Because, they're not a big step club, but they folded. Left the East Anglian Combined Counties League or something, whatever it is.
Eastern Counties League.
Yeah. And there's not really much information, conflicting stories, but very, very bizarre. And I know you said you tried to follow it, just couldn't follow. It was so random and gobbledygook.
I've seen a few bits over the last couple of weeks. Funny enough, I actually watched Norwich United 2 years ago, I think, up at Wroxham, which is the Broadlands Derby,
yeah,
where the two are based on the Norfolk Broads. And that was only 2 years ago, and I wasn't seeing any inkling of anything going along here. But yeah, I tried to follow a little bit over the last couple of weeks as it's come up on Twitter, and it was difficult to work out who was doing what was doing who. Who's the culprit? Who's the victim? And what on earth was actually going on? And I think for it to get to the point it's got to now, where the club's, you know, dissolved itself from the Eastern Counties League. Yeah, that's amazing, amazing chain of events inside
crazy,
2 years. But
yeah,
it's crazy when you see something like that. You think, hang on, we're all human beings here as well.
Yeah.
What's got it to that point that someone's really out for something against someone else like that?
Yeah, knocking a manager out and stuff. It seems crazy, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It is bizarre. If I had more time in a day, I could pick up every single story and know exactly what's going on everywhere. But yeah, that's just mad.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's crazy mad. And a weird point to leave it on. But yeah, have you got any shout-outs before we go?
No.
No, we're wrong. Shout out to the referee's dad who's had to stand over the fence at Arundel because he couldn't pay £6 to get in, something like that. Once again, thank you to Ross for letting us put a prestigious name of Tackle This together. He's actually just emailed me. I don't know if he's emailed all of us, Trev, but he said he didn't actually realise it was sponsorship for the season.
Oh, really?
And he said he's absolutely flattered and honoured. So Ross, it's all you, mate. So he thought it was an episode sponsorship. I was like, no.
Yeah, maybe
so,
we could do that next year, couldn't we? Sell an episode sponsorship.
Yeah. If anyone wants to sponsor an episode, we take PayPal, we take beer tokens, yeah, something like that. We'll
like
get
that. Or a free ticket to your home game. We'll come and do our PNL bit from there.
Yeah. Oh, again, we'd look at if you like the PNLP live last year. Well, not if you're only there because no one knows otherwise because it didn't record very well. We'll learn from our lessons. But if you're listening, you'd like our club to if you like us to host a live podcast from your club. Bring some people in, we'd very happily do it. And, you know, we'd love to get our name out there. I mean, we'd love to do one up north, but I think logistics for us, it's going to be better to do in Sussex or Surrey or Hampshire or something like that. But
yeah,
if you've...
Ken, I think it's about the first,
we can really go because it's got on a school night. But if you are interested, do get in touch with us, at, you know, at the PNLP. We're all on our social media. Trev, it's been good to have a little chat with you tonight. And I will see you... I don't think I'll see you in the next couple of weeks, but I'll see you in a couple of weeks' time for the next podcast. And we will be loving non-league wherever we are. Where are you going this... we're going tomorrow night, but it's like Friday. So Tuesday night gone, you would have gone to a Barnet game. Anything this weekend?
Yeah, Barnet and all the shop. I'm actually going up with Pete Stone tomorrow evening, the ex-chairman of Worthing.
Friend.
Yeah, plenty of those.
What about at the weekend with because we're now in the present tense. We can't do, you're talking in the past tense. You went with Pete Stone.
I went on with Tuesday. Pete Stone on Tuesday to Barnet Aldershot, and hopefully we've recovered from the weekend.
Saturday. I could cut it, couldn't I? I could say we won, yeah. Or we lost. Yeah, we won, we lost. Yeah, cut.
Saturday, I'm a little undecided about whether I fancy another trip to the Hive 2 in a week's a bit. The travel obviously for me is 5 hours each, you know.
Yeah, that trip. Drive ain't fun, innit?
So, more than likely, I'll head to Hayes Lane and see Neil Smith and his Cray Wanderers side against Chesham.
Don't fancy coming down to Maidstone with us Rebels.
No, I saw Maidstone last week, so I don't need to see them again 2 weeks running.
There you go. Well, we're
very kind of you, but a beer with Smudger and Tosh. Fun,
I'm trying to sell the last 10 tickets on our supporters mini supporters
and,
coach.
And I did Maidstone twice last year, so
cool beans. But anyway, I'm trying to sell 10 tickets left, so if you want to come to Worthing game, departing Woodside Road at 10:30 on Saturday, take you down
10:30?
To Maidstone.
Christ, I'll be leaving for Cray about 12 o'clock, so now you're
yeah,
right.
But we take the players, don't we, as well. So anyway, Trev, it's been good to see you. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, everyone. Thanks for listening. Yes. Do share our podcast, pass it on to a friend, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.